Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Thanks for choosing this podcast from Adventures in the Lomonian Universe. Don't hesitate to follow and like and share our podcast with anyone who might be interested in fantasy role playing or entertaining stories.
This is Low Moon Uprising. So I have made a little bit of progress with podcasting lately, and there will be Uprising is the last one to get my full love and attention, but there will be episodes of Uprising coming out this week, and Palace Pages is pretty up to date, and Outsiders has an episode coming out this week, and they're pretty up to date, although when I say up to date, I mean the recent stuff is posted, not the ancient stuff, because that will be like forever. So it'll be what it's going to be. I'm trying to keep up basically from where I drew the line, and it's working for the moment. So, if you haven't liked and followed the Low Moon podcast, highly recommend it. All right.
Hit subscribe.
Okay, so once last we broke, the party was in the bedchamber of Ogrim the Archmage. Ogrim the Archmage is the only mountain giant archmage, or possibly the only mountain giant mage, to ever make history. As in, Brunson has never heard of another mountain giant mage, possibly any giant mage. Maybe a shaman, something like that, but this guy is definitely a mage. He is a former ally of Bazor, which you've recently had a nasty run-in with Bazor. But you originally came here with Eep ML to meet with Ogrim's mate in the interest of finding out whether or not he can be saved or what next steps might be most appropriate.
That flesh-eating disease or whatever?
Yes, he has a flesh-eating disease and is on his deathbed, they think. Which has caused a power struggle within his ranks, which he unites a lot of, and unites is pretty much correct, but he dampens down, maybe would be a good way of saying, a lot of the overreaching evil effects of various hordes and humanoids and like that. And so the goal is, you know, the fear is that if he dies, they will be off the leash, so to speak. At the same time, his group has been fighting the cult. And so he is not able to assist them, and a lot of like infighting has begun to ensue and like that. And so the danger was that they will not be able to stop the cult. So a group of mercenaries was sent by the upper echelon of Ogrim's organization, basically, for lack of a way of putting it, and they were supposed to steal the artifacts from the cult, and FaZe was the keeper of the artifacts at the time. They successfully stole the artifacts but then went out on their own, did not go back to Ogrim, at least not immediately, went out on their own with the intention of duplicating the artifacts. And the party intervened and stopped the duplication of the artifacts at high cost, after which they set up a rendezvous with Ipamel to come here, or to go on and do whatever. I just turned that down, I swear. Okay. Anyway, apparently that was a dramatic moment. Aaron is getting little seizures, by the way, just for purposes of communication.
No.
I don't know what all he'll get. And so that's harder. And so the party stopped the duplication of the artifacts. The party then was swept up into the Time Chalice event. And then from there was... Anyway, the party defeated Bezor in the final challenge, and then from there was dumped back into this room. So we're basically picking up moments after the final challenge, and the party is theoretically about to encounter Ogrim and his wife and their guards and so on.
Wasn't it our understanding also that Caesar isn't supposed to be an ally?
Ogrim?
Yeah.
I mean, as much as an evil mountain giant is going to be an ally, yes. So there was the thought that if you helped him, he would help you, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Ipamel maintains quarters here and has a relationship with Ogrim and his wife, and so it's definitely possible that you could get help from him, basically. I'm not sure what help you really need more other than to possibly get the artifacts. Also, Ipamel did say that the lair of the sorcerer who had the artifacts that Ogrim's wife has information of as to where his lair is. So there was that. Okay? So you find yourself in a large bedchamber, the likes of which you have seldom seen. It is so far that even though it is lit, you cannot see across it. A couple hundred, maybe 300 yards across total. But you're in one side of it, and you know that there was a hallway that led back out to the chambers that were Ipamel's chambers, and then there was another hallway that led back out into, theoretically, it's Ogrim's throne room or whatever. And Ogrim lies in the bed. He is gargantuan, so he's probably between 20 and 25 feet tall, and the bed is accordingly scaled. His wife stands and sits beside his bedside, his mate. She also is a giant, but she is not nearly as big as he is. She looks more like a hill giant, for those of you who have that kind of knowledge, but she's probably in the neighborhood of like 15 feet tall, 12 to 15 feet tall. Still quite large compared to all of you. Also in the room are some guards. They appear to be hobgoblins, but they are oversized, to say the least.
Or the size of his big toe.
So they look like hobgoblins, but they're running around 9 feet tall. There are four of them total on Overwatch, and they have heavy plate, looks almost like full plate armor and helms, 9 foot spears, shield, like that. And they are the only obvious military force in the room. And other than that, the only other things in the room are there is a fireplace that is burning that is relatively in your vicinity, so it is pretty warm where you are. And in the nearest corner, which is about maybe probably 60 feet away along the same wall, there's an archway that lets out, and then beyond that, the wall continues on another 50 feet or so. And in that corner, there are about 20 mourners. They are of varying races, and you're not like in their midst. They're 50 feet away, and it's not like the light between here and there is not complete. So you're seeing into their light from your light kind of thing. And but you can tell there are hobgoblins, what look to be elves, humans, and some short, possibly either dwarves or gnomes or something like that. And again, there's dozens of them. And they're mourners because they're mourning. They're bawling the entire time. And it creates a very annoying, droning, weeping noise. But it isn't overpowering. So, again, it's 50 feet away. So,
no mage. We knew the mage was the one clicking the disease on
him. No one knows. No one. The story has not been pronounced on how he got the flesh-eating disease. The mercenaries were working for him. But no. There was never any statement that the mage put it on him. However, it looks like it's probable that the mage was capitalizing on his weakness, because anything that the mage would have done would have been known by Ogrim and possibly thwarted by Ogrim if Ogrim was healthy. Okay, yeah, so you can do that if you want. You have not, so we're picking up, this is the scene, you have not actually interacted with Stro, which is Ogrim's wife, yet. And she is the only person standing between you and doing whatever you want. Because the guards are around, but they haven't stopped you. And EFML is with you. So it's all of you, plus Azuri, EFML. Am I missing anyone?
Jake.
Yep. So it's all of you plus Azuri, Evenmel, and Jake. Okay. So when you arrived here, not in, phase two. Yep. Thank you. Not entirely unlike you did the first time, which means not necessarily ready to fight. You didn't arrive with weapons out or, spells cast or anything like that. And you don't feel like you're in particular imminent danger. Four oversized hobgoblins don't necessarily, super intimidate. Stro is kind of intimidating because she's a giant, but again, she's not nearly as big as...
I'm too big that I think I might be intimidated.
We came here from combat, so we're not...
You did not come here from combat.
From the time chalice.
You came out of the time chalice. Mm-hmm. The time chalice thing ended. But it, because from your point of view, it feels like you just went into the time chalice, like no time has passed. So the only thing, like hit points have changed, spells have been used, but other than that, your heart wasn't racing, you weren't sweaty. The combat on the bowls feels like a memory.
So we're still in the time chalice, you're saying?
No, I'm saying you're out of the time chalice. That was the end of the time chalice.
It feels like it was distant, like slightly distant.
Yeah, everything that happened in the time chalice feels like a dream. That's what it always says. It feels like a dream. But it did affect you physically, so you're down hit points, you're down spells. I have Jace, and I have Fates.
F-A-I-T.
Scroll. Okay. So, right away, EFML steps forward from the group. Remember that she is 5'4", 110 pounds, and unbelievably gorgeous and somewhat scantily clad. If you looked hard at her from the side, you might get a peek of something that's supposed to be covered, that kind of scantily clad. She wears long white flowing robes, and her hair always seems to be gently moving in a breeze, even when there is no breeze. I think I sent a text of what she looked like before. Is that sound right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So.
All right. Anyway, so she approaches Stro, and Stro's is standing at the time that she does so, and she says, in common, she addresses her, "My dear," and Stro says.
The Prince Albert series on Kindle features Prince Albert, the young errant prince of the Kingdom Geoff.
Does anyone speak any giant tongues? Okay, so she said,
speak goblins.
She speaks back to her in a kind of guttural tongue that you assume is giant tongue.
Gnomish?
No. Okay.
Are hobgoblins or orcs considered giants?
They are considered giant class, but they speak a different language.
I speak orcish.
Orc?
I can speak orcish too.
That's good for the two of you to potentially know, because you can speak and not be understood.
Is there anybody who speaks like giant
orcish? Yeah.
Speak Elven and Geoff.
But it happens that Xavier speaks it, even though he's not an elf.
I also speak gnome.
I speak perfect Geoff, and I speak common with no accent.
I have no other languages, but and might be one that's adjacent, maybe, but homage ain't adjacent.
Huh?
I speak spellcraft too.
Okay, so whatever, it's not, it just sounded like a greeting, but you know, it was one word, whatever, phrase, short phrase. And then they step forward and she hugs her, which is kind of an interesting thing. She's 5'4" and Stro is 9-10 feet tall, at least, more like 12.
Hugs her calf.
Yeah, so she just kind of leans down and hugs her. And then she, Ipamel, speaks to her in the same kind of guttural language that she was using. Those of you who speak Hobgoblin do get the gist that she's basically saying, we're here to help. So you don't get it. So just saying, like, we're here to help. And the mourners continue in the corner. Let's see. Arden, roll a d20.
You're standing back.
Nine.
Theon is on your left, and Jeremu is on your right.
I will lean over to Theon and say, the droning is going to get annoying. Quietly, I say quietly.
Okay. So you notice, as just being that kind of squirrely guy that you are, paying attention to your surroundings, that kind of thing, you do notice that several of the mourners have taken are paying undue attention to the party. Mind you, they're 50 feet away. In particular, you see one that you would describe as a dark dwarf. He's standing in the light, about 3.5 foot, 4 foot tall, very stocky, dark skin, like gray granite skin. And he's looking this way. And then you see a woman kind of back into his left, who's probably human, and she is looking this way as well. Mind you, the wailing continues, but they're kind of standing in the center of the light inside the body of wailers, if you will. And her hair moves by itself. The woman's hair moves by itself. So you realize that your presence is stirring up some potential difficulty.
Seems okay. They may regard us as annoying as well.
All right. And then Ipamel turns to you and says, and she mostly addresses Dearmood and Theon as the two of you are standing side by side with Brunson in the middle. And she says, Stro has agreed for you to examine his wound, his disease, if you wish.
What language is she speaking?
Now common. She addresses you in common. She cautions you not to physically touch it.
Am I correct that I heard, or have I heard correctly that a remove curse has not been tried?
I think they said they did try. I mean, someone like, oh, she can't actually. Even Mel can't help him.
She can't help him. She has been ordered by her god not to help him. So I think actually she said she didn't know whether a remove curse had been tried, but she had not tried one.
She's not.
In her absence, she has. I don't want to say no way, but it's unlikely that she will know what has happened in her absence.
Okay, then I'll rephrase my question. I'll say, has a remove curse been performed?
Okay. She says, I haven't, and then she turns back to Stro and she says in common, have you tried to remove a curse since I was here last? And Stro says,
a wizard, Amity, did come and cast a remove curse, but it seemed to have little or no effect.
Even Mel says, even so, multiple attempts are often needed, especially for a weaker caster.
Dion, do you have one available as well?
I believe I prepared seven today. Yes.
I prepared one.
I can try up to three times.
Give it a look at it, see if you're doing any information.
I suggest you do your magic before you do that.
Okay. Let me guess, it's a wound. It's probably pussing and losing.
It's a flushing and losing. So
he's skilled in healing, you're skilled in magic. I'm skilled.
That's fine. If he wants to go look at the wound, go ahead.
I will need to examine it in order to cast.
I'm not really interested in looking at losing pustule wounds.
Come on, you're a man of constitution. I've seen you drink.
I just
want
to kill my Dukas.
I didn't say I couldn't handle it. I said I didn't want to.
Is there an easy way to mount the dead?
There's an Jake, obvious frame that extends out further than the mattress. So it would be easy enough to basically swing up and stand on the frame. And then assuming that he does have furs, like a bed of furs on top of him, and assuming the furs are moved back, then that would put him at like head height with you because the mattress is about 2.5 to 3 feet thick.
Like one of those ladders at the library. Squeak, squeak, squeak.
Well, the frame of the bed, yeah. Okay. So
I've got acrobatics.
Yeah, no problem. You jump up, grab the rail, swing up, no problem. And seeing what you intend, Stro steps up and she pulls back the covers from the bottom up. So roll a d20 if you would.
Climb along.
Six.
Okay. So you are fairly certain that a couple of the hides on the bed are extremely exotic. So one of the hides that she pulls back is like, it's leathery. It has hair on it, but it's really very fine hair. It's almost like leather. As she pulls back one that on top that just looks like a really big bear fur, basically, she pulls that back. She goes to pull the next one back. And as you look at it, it's like dull gray in color with very fine hair. And then there's like, it has like a bunching like this that starts up here and it kind of goes down to the right with a kind of a natural curve in it. And then there's a gap, like an actual hole that's been filled with some darker fur, so it looks like it's not part of the original material. And then there's another of those same kind of crease that raised ruffle, if you will, in the blanket, and then it goes on again. And so it looks like that gives you the impression that could be an eye. So it could be that they took something that had a very large eye, and then the eye is no longer there, so they filled it in with fur, but they made a blanket basically out of it.
How big is that eye?
About 3 feet across. Okay. And so then she throws that one back, and then there's another one, and then there's one that has thick tufts of like really thick strands of hair, and they're kind of like clumped together and matted, and there's spaces in between. And that one looks to be of some very large bipedal being because it has two projections and there's a kind of an incut in the middle. And then she throws that one back, and then you can see Ogrim's lower portion, basically. He's wearing kind of like a Flintstone type, like a dress, basically.
Toga,
kind of, sort of. But usually toga's only one side. But anyway, so it comes down, goes... It goes to like between his knees, and so his legs are bare, they're hairy and kind of nasty, and his other leg, which doesn't appear to be infected, has a lot of little like sores and bites and things on it, so he's not super groomed per se. But this side, you can see a black creeping crust, basically, that starts right about at the top of his foot, right above his toes, and it goes through his ankle. And the back of his heel and the lower ankle is untouched. And then it goes all the way along and covers probably 3/4 of his calf. So the only part that doesn't have it is the part that's sitting on the bed. And it goes up his shin, up to his knee, covers the entire knee. And then it goes up into the groin area, which you're not looking too closely to see what's going on there exactly. And then it obviously goes up into the torso. So it's just on his left leg, but it goes from the top of his foot, just behind his toes, across most of the front of his leg, and then up at least into the groin and the chest.
So for the black
Crust. It's a crusty. So have you seen poison ivy when it starts to dry out, where it's kind of like raised and sort of gets crusty and still leathery almost looking? It looks like that, but it's a dark charcoal gray color.
Who's it? What's his wife's name?
Stro.
Oh, I realize that. Was it always this texture, or did it seep at one point?
It's always about the same. Growing. Inches, most recently feet per day.
She motions with her hand. You notice her hand is pudgy, and you also notice that her ring finger on her right hand is missing at the hand. So she has a normal pinky, and these three fingers are normal, but this finger is completely missing at the hand. And then her finger is just slightly like a pudgy and fat, basically kind of roundy. And she motions up and she says, "It goes all the way to his chest and the base of his neck now.
It's moving fast.
It's almost over it."
Jake says, kind of from the back of the group, "We should save him if we can."
I think that's the point of being here, is to see if we can save him.
Okay, you can roll healing if you want to.
Right, first roll, I could. Roll 16, which takes it.
Okay. So your assessment, after taking a moment, kind of looking him over like that, is that something has infiltrated his skin, his body, probably even under the skin, at a cellular level, at a very base level, you know, smaller than the human eye or elven eye can see, and it has converted those cells to be like what you see. So if one managed to stop the progression, one would still have the problem of the cells have been converted. So in theory, there are very powerful magics possibly that could change them back, like a wish spell or something like that. But
what book is in the person?
First, players.
Probably players, yeah.
Oh, you got a digital. Okay.
Have I heard of the story or a legend or something that?
Sure. Roll percentile dice.
Seems pretty distinct.
You've heard the story of Ogrim, the archmage.
Hey, you laugh, but I rolled a 20.
Okay.
It's not in the books. Oh, that's true.
My bad. The mage spell is going to point. It's going to point back to the cleric spell anyway, but it'll have different parameters. It'll say same as the cleric spell, such and such a level, which is one of the most annoying things. But they did it, so that was a long time ago now.
What level cleric spell?
Third,
maybe, or fourth.
Most things cleric spell is third.
There may be some different parameters for the mage spell, like casting time and things like that, but. Okay, anyway, so yes, I mean, you have heard a couple of things, you think of a couple of legends that could apply. So one of the legends that you recognize describes what you're seeing, and it is the legend of a powerful king using powerful magics to prolong his life. But one of the ingredients or one of the parts of the very powerful ritual that he was using to give himself like unto immortality was corrupted by one of his underlings who was seeking revenge for past wrongs, basically. And this person didn't know for sure exactly what would happen if they did it, but they corrupted part of the materials, and the end effect was what's being described. So he lived, but he lived under the effect of a creeping disease that would eventually take him out, basically.
Does it kind of look like what was affecting Martin, huh?
No. No, in fact, I'll come back to that in a second. But the second legend is does not describe the imagery of what you're seeing, but talks of a storm giant, and they are magical by nature. They do have a lot of magic and power by nature, and a storm giant member of royalty who was beset by a curse, and the curse is described in one of the ballads that you're familiar with as a creeping or a slowly advancing effect. But the actual imagery or being tied to anything like what you're seeing doesn't, it's not there. It's not anything you're familiar with.
I'll share that.
Okay, let me do Art ML real quick. So Art ML, what initially caused his undoing was hard to say, but...
Check out Things Were Different Back Then, the origin story of Lord Victor, told from a certain point of view.
It didn't appear to be anything that was like a creeping or anything like that. It was more like he was maybe killed, like something shot him in the face or something.
More like he was degrading.
Well, yeah, he was like beginning to decompose or whatever, but his face had been ruptured. And when you saw him, it looked different because... Spud had used illusion to recreate part of his face, which you later figured that much out. So the point is that whatever happened to him did not by any means look like a curse or a creeping doom or anything like that.
Chat party.
Okay, so you shared the first two legends.
Real quick.
Did everyone get it? Enough? But you can just say you shared it?
Sure.
Okay. All right, so he shares that with you. Okay, then Stroh says, Ogrim has used powerful magics to sustain himself and even to allow his mountain giant form to facilitate the magics that he can do. You are always that I have known him, unless he chooses to be something different by magic. But his story goes long. I am his 13th wife. And he has never had two at once.
It's just very odd to have it. Being such as himself, to be able to wield magic in the way that he does.
Yes. This is my point exactly. I know little, unfortunately, but this much I do know. Deep within this mountain, Ogrim has placed certain enchantments that allow him to continue, as you say,
just
functioning in this odd state.
What is it possible that what's going on with his current health has to do with being a hill giant that can do magic like he does?
I'll assume you said mountain giant.
It's
mountain,
yeah.
But yeah. Unless you wanted to play that.
I was not. Okay.
Yeah. All right. She says, it is possible.
The stories I've heard that look like this, what seems to be a curse, someone acted out of spite, but it's also maybe one of the enchantments that he's using to prolong his life, waning, falling apart.
Well, any good curse can be targeted to something in the beginning.
Yeah. And it is. There a curse like spell that. It's touch only, maybe. It kind of looks like a curse with a split.
These
tall guys,
you know, hit it with something that. Even says, the strongest curses are always delivered by touch.
That's whoever delivered this. Yes.
How long do you think it'll be before the curse is the principal one?
At this point,
you
days?
Say. It looks like a power
guarding his neck.
Stroh says, I don't know.
Using magic to extend his life was
sabotaged by his underling, correct?
Yes.
And the ritual by which he intended to extend his life did this to him. And Strode says, the mountain giant has magics hidden inside this mountain that extend his life, right?
Yes.
So, should our first goal not be to seek out the magics hidden inside the mountain, maybe it's a ritual of some sort that we set up, and inspect it?
Perhaps.
For some sort of sabotage?
Strode says,
you speak very wise, but it is no small task. For below us lies many civilizations, and you would need to pass through several of them. This cannot be done by magical means. And then, Ogrim has surely placed substantial defenses around the enchantments. So to even get to the place where you can see them, you would risk your lives.
Does he have any methods of getting into the enchantments himself? Is it just magic, or they'll target him? Is it an item that he may use?
I don't know. I don't track his days. He summons me. I have seen him more these last weeks when I have sat and stood by his bedside than I have in years.
Why don't we start off with the removed curse first?
That might be
right? To hurt nothing?
Yes. I mean, I can't
be... Unless the nature of his...
Unless I'm mistaken...
Unless the nature of his...
Unless I'm mistaken, your remove curse is similar... Takes similar time to cast, other than you have to throw in some brazen in your god or whatever. So. 6 segments versus 4 seconds. So.
Sure.
Out of breath.
What were you saying, Anton?
There's only possible risk, and I doubt it's even... really risking this, but the nature of his life extension is a curse. That might be something negative about that.
I'm thinking that we try to target our remove curses beyond at the same time.
Evamel says, it should be possible to target the curse that you want to take off of him, that which is killing him, for example, and not risk removing any curses that might be extending his life or increasing his power.
I will
Though
say,
I'm sure if we saved his life and lost some of his power, he would probably be okay with that.
I will say, it is likely that even should we remove the curse, the effects of it will not be removed alongside. It will stop growing. But the transformation here, as far as I can tell, is more of a physical one than a magical one. His very flesh is being turned into this crust.
Ismael says, in light of that truth, I confess I had some suspicions that that was true, but it has advanced much since the last time I was here. But even so, it would seem that even if the curse were removed, we will not have solved the problem, not so late in this time.
It'll buy us time.
And then if he removes the curse, can't you just do your magic stuff and heal the wounds?
I cannot help him magically. My god has forbidden it.
Certain potent magics may be feasible.
Faye says, there are a few people out there who could be entreated to assist. He's a powerful ally for anyone who helps him. The problem is, do we want Ogrim partnering up with somebody strong enough to help him? And would anybody who's good and strong enough to help him, be willing to help him. That's the question.
They weren't assaulting us at some of this. It's kind of tight. They are. They do have a very good pass.
Bay says, you mean the Bezor who most likely wants us dead?
Well, that was another question on my mind. Why does Bezor want this to happen?
He does have some ties with Ulrum. My understanding it was positive. Ulrum, when he was reincarnated, that was an act of Ulrum. And Ulrum has delivered to him a fairly substantial book. It's not much like yours.
No, it's nothing like mine.
It benefits him the same way you were receiving his bubble.
Yes, I understand what you're trying to do. I'll be smarter than that. I'm always smarter than everybody.
But, so this could have something to do with Bajor might have attempted somehow to hear this.
No, Bezor wanted him dead. Bezor was trying to stop us from killing him first. Curious.
You know this for sure.
Did we find that out?
I know we played
play, or that Bezor was the one sending the people after us in the Time Jalous?
You did know that Bezor summoned you into the Time Jalous as enemies.
Yeah.
But you never did conclude for sure what Bezor was attempting to doing that he triggered the Time Chalice.
But when we were in Ogrim's room in the Time Chalice, and somebody in the other room said, kill them all.
Yes.
Did we find out that was Bezor? You told us how to play it.
No, you did not find out that was Bezor.
I think we would have known what was
that. And, okay.
He's a man of shenanigans.
Yes.
Or it's a shenanigan he made in defense of that.
Do you have an augury?
Yes.
Do you want to just ask if a removed curse even has a possibility of carrying it?
I already asked that.
I don't know what the question was.
Whether or not a new person might be able to help.
Might be able to share it.
I feel like I remember asking that.
I don't remember. I don't remember you asking that, I'm sorry.
All right, well, I can ask it.
Okay. So, what is the actual verb that you're using? Cure, help, save, what? What
are you? So I guess
verb doesn't
have what are we trying to figure out? Are we trying to
is he under the effect of a curse? I mean, yes.
Save his life. Buy him time.
Is he under the effects of a curse that can be gotten rid of with a removed curse?
So, you could ask the question now and say, if
he's under the effects of a curse that can't be removed by a removed curse, then the answer would be no.
Yeah, something like, we'll remove curse.
If he's under the effects of a curse that can be removed by a removed
curse,
the verb remove is the word.
You could ask, will it slow it down or remove it? And if it's neither, then you don't.
Okay. Jason, roll D20.
One of those.
That's what I was just trying to figure out. I had to figure out.
We'll remove curses.
Dang it!
We'll remove curses and potentially slow it down.
What is your wisdom?
12.
And if it's notable, then it's not going
to work. 11.
Please don't use the word potentially in there.
Okay. So while they're all doing what they're doing, you've been just kind of lingering in the back. And you now realize that two individuals have left. You didn't see them at first, but now you see them very clearly. They've left the group of mourners
They've moved along the wall to just the other side of the archway, which means they're only about 20 feet from you at the back of the group. And you see that one of them is probably around 4 feet tall and very stocky. He's wearing a cloak and his hood is up, so you can't really see his face. But he does have a short sword drawn. And then there is another one who is probably human height, maybe 5'6", thinner, is wearing a long, flowing green, dark green forest green cloak that covers her head, and her head seems strangely larger than normal. Like it's a little bit disproportionate to her body. And they are just on the other side of the archway, which means they've moved to be within 20 feet of the group.
Oh, well, my profession is something in another book.
Okay. All right. So everyone hears Adam draw his weapon.
Ching.
Because it doesn't draw quietly unless he's very, very intentional.
Huh? I look to see what he's doing.
Okay. So by the time you, those of you who look in that direction, you see that he has turned his back to the party and moved like facing the archway. And then when you look past him, you see that two individuals, as previously described, are standing just on the other side of the archway. A 4 foot tall, stocky person with a short sword drawn, and a thinner kind of human female with a green forest cloak that's covering a slightly oversized head.
I take cover behind the bed.
Okay. Yeah, so the bed is about 5 feet, the bottom, about probably between 4 and 5 feet to the rail of the bed, so you could go under pretty easily if you choose to.
Yeah.
Or you could go all the way around. So are you going under or around?
I'm just trying to get to like the corner of the bed.
Okay, just around the corner.
Put my back to it. Kind of...
Okay, so Brunson ducks around the corner of the bed, gets a little bit of cover.
And I'm saying, we have company.
Okay. Take cover.
Okay. Just mapping something.
Is
just
Adam
1 second. What?
Is Adam in arm's reach of me?
I mean, he can be. He's probably about 2 steps away.
So I'll draw my sword and kind of pull my arm from him. So I'll just hold off your hand.
You draw your sword first, he'll be gone because he's already starting to move away.
Okay. I'm strong sword.
Okay. All right. So you get about 3-4 steps in their direction and you hear another sword coming out behind you as if someone else is reacting as well.
You didn't already have your sword out.
The main group sees FaZe go under the bed, like he's going to the other side of the bed. Anyone else reacting in any bizarre way? Jake just puts his hand on his sword and turns. He doesn't draw it.
Yeah, we just take cover.
Take cover?
As I'm drawing my sword, I'm going to say we're here to help out or something.
So with Brunson basically around the corner of the bed?
Sure.
Okay.
As I draw my sword, I'm going to say we're here.
Get back.
Okay.
Don't bump me, I might have cast.
Alright.
What?
Take your magic missile.
Okay, so Adam is moving toward them, unless you're telling me to stop. You're facing toward them, but several strides behind. Theon's still kind of up on the bed where you were looking at his leg. Dearmood and Brunson have moved around the end, and Eva Mel is still standing next to Stro. Okay. And Xavier was the one who called out and said, we come to help or whatever. Right? Are you actually advancing toward them all the way?
Yes.
All right.
I'll say, who are you?
Okay. The bulky looking man says,
stand you well back, half human.
What?
Don't come any closer.
But you're probably 10 feet away.
Also, we're not. If you tell me who you are, we're not going to hurt you.
I am Nolt. I am friend to Ogrim.
And at that point, Stro calls kind of from the back, and she says, I don't know you, Noth, but if you're a friend to Ogrim, then why is your sword drawn? And
she says, I must protect.
We're not doing anything, dude.
And then you hear a female voice say, he's protecting me. From behind her, from behind the stocky guy.
Maybe, maybe.
They called me Stropal. You will help Ogrim?
Yes, we're trying to figure out how to stop this thing he has.
Loki said, you must go to the heart of the matter.
Where may that be?
Deep into the mountain. The treasure troves of Ogrim. Where no man may step and live.
Well, I guess that rules us out.
Did we all hear that?
Yes. Softer for those who are further in the back, but yes.
I say that to Dermot. Well, I guess that rules us out.
Then how do we find out what's going on if we can't get in there?
Risk my life once today, man.
Good. She says, Loki says, you must go.
Is that Loki?
That's what she said.
All of us?
I don't trust that girl.
There's a trustworthy guy. Yeah.
He did not specify if all of you must go, but only that it is the only way what you seek to do may be done.
Are you sick too?
No. I have been mourning.
I'll make sure whoever is about to not contagious.
Then...
The short, stocky guy says, we have mourned day and night for a week without food or rest.
But Loki speaks to Stropal. It is for this reason and only this reason that we have stepped away from our duties.
I'll take a piece of that out of my bag and toss it to him.
He tries to catch it. He does.
So, I'll say from around the corner.
He smiles at you, a broken-toothed grin.
I'll say from around the corner of the bed, I said, so if you know this had to happen the whole time, why didn't somebody already go?
She says, I did not. Loki only just told me this moments ago.
I'm willing to go.
I will take you.
He doesn't speak for all of us.
She looks at you. She says, Mike, you can't see her face because he's back inside the hood. She says, you will need help.
It's probably going to be stay here too, because in case anything else
happens. Will you operate the guide, then?
I can take you all under my conditions. And I will need to sleep first. For I've not slept in days. And I can only take you just past the drow. Whatever lies beyond will be yours. To either meet your end or save Ogrim.
Well, who's up for another adventure?
I'll go.
Either meet our end or save Ogrim.
Well, that kind of is pretty much everything we've been involved in.
No.
Well, if we go to this, If we go, if we go to an autonomous, we can save Ogre.
I mean, what's our alternative? If they, if
the, we'll feel comfortable speaking about our alternatives in present company. Yeah, there we go. We'll go with that.
We are here because we were asking.
Well, now we have someone saying that they're God. I'm assuming it's telling them that that's the only way to get really have an answer.
A very,
so what do you propose?
Yeah.
What does Renzi propose then?
Again, I don't feel comfortable about speaking of this and it doesn't come to me.
Is it fairly extreme measures?
I just wanted to cast a remove curse to see if it works in the first place.
If we're going to augury that, perhaps we all agree with that.
Yeah, at this point, now that gods are getting involved more than they already were, I don't think it's going to work. But.
Then how about you ask?
I'm just saying this really jumped up in seriousness here.
Yeah. Remind me why we're helping Ogrim again.
Now it's either risk our lives or
if Ogrim, well, there's several reasons, but one of them is if Ogrim dies, the power vacuum that is left will basically dismiss the tribes, etc., into the surrounding lands. Since he took over, he's kind of reigning over this area, people have been within reason able to exist in peace. Because he reigns in the massacres, etc. It used to be in this part, for example, the hobgoblins or goblins would march every season, just about, and they would hunt humans to extinction. Now that's not like that anymore. Okay, so northwestern Pomarch.
Also, the concern was that the cold would absorb.
Right. So Ogrim is right now. His people are fighting the cold. If Ogrim's people disband, then you could figure somewhere between 20 and 60% of them will fold right into the cult, and their numbers will be swelled to the point of world conquest. Well, not necessarily world, major conquest. There's still some very powerful individuals out there who would have a lot to say about that, but the cult, Ogrim's people broke the siege on the huge city that that Baroness Adigene is from. And the cult, since then, they've been locked in basically battle with the cult. But if I had was gone, that he's the one who gave the orders to do that. That would not happen. Also, realize that this is definitely not the same quest as retrieving the artifacts, which is why you were originally sent. The only way this plays into retrieving the artifacts is probably twofold, maybe three. So, one, if Ogrim were healed, he could rein in the mercenaries because he's got that kind of power. And then the artifacts would be a possibility.
Sure, keep them out awkward to give us at least a path to the artifacts. Or to the wizard that has.
So Stro knows where the wizard's fortresses are. Yes, four.
If we save Ogrim and he becomes an ally, that's a pretty good ally.
That's true, although it's kind of hard to see him as an ally when he is evil.
Yeah, so. We can't trust that he's going to help us.
There's no doubt that he'll reward, because he definitely seemed to have a sense of honor. In fact, he went out of his way to reward Bezor with a spell book and killed Bezor's most powerful opponent at a moment when he was isolated and alone, all because Bezor gave him a hippogriff, which he did by accident. So he definitely has a sense of like repaying type thing. So you're probably going to get something out of it. It's going to benefit you. If you benefit him, it'll benefit you. But not necessarily a lasting ally because he's evil. Like even when you guys came and met with him before, like he couldn't rein the hobgoblins that were in the throne room in enough. They were like stabbing you with spears and stuff while you were moving to talk to him and while you were leaving. So there were some people almost died just walking across the room because he couldn't. Like, even though Ogrim was on the throne, he couldn't stop the hobgoblins from attacking you. And you couldn't fight back, because if you fought back, then they would have killed you for sure.
I'm placing the order online.
If you just forward the receipt to Ron, he's going to
take care of.
How do I go about getting it printed off and signed?
Just forward it to me. I'll take care of it.
Okay. I've just sent them to Amalia.
I'm on the
Oh, yeah, you can do that, too. You can send it directly to Amalia.
Well, okay. On the recording, I was just going to say, we have permission to use it out of my budget.
There you go. You're on the court recording now, yeah.
It's on the record.
So all I got to do is take that little snippet out of the podcast, and I can just spend money on the Crystal Games team anytime I want.
Oh. Only on this day for pizza, haha. Ha.
That's too late. I mean, it's easy to separate sentences.
Nope, we're all here witnesses.
It's terribly easy to separate
They're
sentences.
They're not going to lie for you.
Yeah.
I'm going
to definitely think we need to save a lot of pizza.
Yes, Jake says, I'd like to save him. I don't care if we get repaid or not. What he's going through is terrible. It's evil, and it needs to be crushed. So just the right thing to do, even if we have to run away afterwards.
Let me clarify if the
just so you guys know,
virus or infection he has is natural or not.
Yes, that's been part of the process, but they have not figured out for sure whether a remove curse would stop it from spreading.
Never mind, so they didn't curse based on the good blood you gave
them. But they also have figured out that a priestess that they just met named Stropal here said, Loki said, they have to go to the middle of the mountain. That's where they're at.
So, theoretically, curse as in, like, I guess, like, we know what it actually is. Is it a curse site?
No, it's something that's transforming the cells of his body, starting at his foot all the way up into his groin and torso, and I think actually since to his neck.
Yeah.
You haven't seen that, but...
Just so you guys are aware, if we give our lives in the pursuit of this quest, then we're also not stopping the cult from getting the artifacts and continuing to convert tens of thousands of people on evil. You know, the thing we were actually sent for.
Yeah. Yeah.
I owe my life to her that is asking
okay.
us to roll D6, right?
Yeah, so before you do that, be aware they're talking about spending the night and sleeping now, so
also,
there might be substantial healing in there.
Remember,
she was doing heal spells before, like D4 off the max heal spells. So she hasn't done that today.
Gonna be a lot of groundwork to follow that.
When the time comes, we roll these.
Yeah, so it sounds like we shouldn't waste any more time.
No, it would. But if we do this, this gives us a director. Whereas the other way is
Art and roll
a lot of meandering and wandering and investigating.
Nine.
You said he has four fortresses?
The phylactery gives you the feeling that
that's four
death
others.
Has visited this chamber very recently.
How will you already just figure out what his fortress is?
It's a feeling.
Just find a random fortress door. Is this his fortress? Yeah.
Okay, that's so why we're aware.
You have an emotional, kind of like a PTSD effect, basically, to the last time you were mourning someone's death. And you're like, ah. You know, you don't see any death.
Is Ozone breathing?
Yes. No raspy breathing like this.
I'm going to ask the phylactery whether it thinks that we should go try to follow his lead.
Go, yes, go.
Oh, keyword go? Yeah.
Yes, definitely go.
If the word go
okay.
is in the
Should I go somewhere else or should I go follow his lead?
Go?
Oh, no. Pointed going is always better. It works for you, huh?
Well, then, how about we...
Matter of fact, by the time we get done with this, he may succeed in duplicating or triplicating the artifact.
I say we let this guy rest, be rest, and then he...
I can't hear you, sorry.
I say we rest and let this guy, and I'll point to the guy that was talking, and I say we let him rest, and he can lead us to where we need to go.
The time we spent chasing this wizard, and going the roundabout way doing it might also... You might also spend that time tripling, quadrupling, whatever you're going to do. This is a direct path to it. You take the
no,
direct path
this
to
is
it?
Not a direct path. This is a
in a sense of it.
Direct path to possibly die and then.
Says the coward.
Matter of fact, we have. Okay. Sorry, I know you guys are standing right here, but we're talking about you. I say that to Ogrim's wife. And
Stroh sits back down in the chair and puts her hand on Ogrim's arm.
I say...
Her head, I mean, lays her head on his arm.
She hasn't even agreed to help us in any way, shape, or form after we do this, right?
Hey, will you help us if we do this?
She sits up.
We're not saying that we will, but...
Help
it's
you.
Part of the decision process.
Help you what?
Our decision making.
Track a wizard by the name of...
I don't know his name, do we?
I think they did have a name for him, but I can't remember what it is right this second either. Yeah.
The
Wizard Tim.
Jerk who likes to replicate items.
Okay, that guy. Yeah. She says...
It was Edward's name.
I will give you the location of his 4 strongholds.
That Aubrey. Is he here?
And she says, I will give you that information whether you help Ogrim or not.
I will do everything in my power to help Ogrim as the priestess that brought us here requested that and she resurrected.
That is true. Resurrections are.
I don't think it was an exchange of it,
but actually, I think it was.
I mean, sure, I didn't consent to it beforehand, but she told me that it was a question.
It was him and Xavier, too.
So,
we're chaotic.
Stropal says, I will meet those of you who wish to go down into the mountain. Here. And she motions to outside the... And, you know, as she motions, you notice that she has a thin, attractive female hand with painted fingernails. And she motions to the hallway. And she says, in 10 hours.
Well, is there a reason you keep your face covered?
She says,
we're asking for that.
She says, my beauty is difficult for mere mortals to survive.
Oh.
And the thick, stocky guy kind of shrugs his shoulders. Okay. The two of them turn and leave. They go out the archway into the hallway and they turn right. No sooner do they do so than it sounds like the mourners in the corner turn up their volume a little bit. They begin to wail even louder. And you look in that direction because it's a little bit odd, and you see that one of the female mourners in the middle, who appears to be a drow, has torn her clothes off, basically, and is dancing with flames coming up around her feet. And while the group is around her, she can only just partly see her, but you can clearly see that that's what she's doing.
Check out The Moment Blood Bowl wherever you buy books. This is written by Pastor Daniel Stevenson, the longtime author and game master of Low Moon Adventures.
So there's a naked woman dancing with flames?
Yes.
That's interesting.
There's a naked blue-skinned elf.
She's a Sith. She's feeding off the pain.
Okay. All right. And... Okay, so Ron, roll d20.
9.
Okay. You notice that since the initial encounter with Stropal and Noth, FaZe has not been seen. He went on the he went under the bed to the other side, theoretically, but you have not seen him since.
Oh, great. FaZe is gone.
Bye, FaZe. Hope you find your dad.
Yeah, I'm sure he's up to only good things.
Yeah.
I look under the bed.
Okay. All right. So you look under the bed. First of all, it's dark and kind of scary out of there. Even like it's almost like a abnormal darkness. There's light out here, and it's not going under the bed. And roll a d20.
9.
Okay.
What am I doing? 9.
So you're kind of taken aback as you see what look to be, I mean, you would describe them as insects of some kind. After, in your, when, later, when you're in your right mind, you will realize they are probably bed bugs, but they are roughly 6 inches in diameter, and you see them tearing the last of the skin off Faze's face.
Oh! I say that out. Oh!
Okay. Actually, you stagger backwards.
Yeah.
Let's see. He staggers into Xavier as you've turned to been involved in the conversation again. And then you may roll a dex check to just kind of like stand there and let him not fall over, basically. Okay. So he supports you enough so you don't fall down. He doesn't fall down. And he doesn't stick you with his sword or anything.
They're killing him. We got to save him.
Who?
Please!
It's coming from you?
Anyway, in character. Come on.
I'm acting out of emotion right
now. I don't think
it does this. What are you talking about?
Okay, so you stick your head and look under the bed. Dude, roll a d20.
The bugs! They ripped his face off!
Okay, so yeah, you see the same thing. You see that Faze is under there. There's probably about 30 of them total. And he is prone. He's definitely dead. His entire face and most of his neck are missing.
But he's already dead. Giant bugs.
Bed bugs.
There's some reason
he's alive.
He's helping us. I ain't crawling under that.
He's been extremely useful since traveling with the party.
He was our friend.
Despite the fact that people think he's evil. No one has detected evil on him.
We don't need to.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, he did detect evil.
Right.
Yeah, somebody did detect evil.
I
offered to see if he was evil, and the archery said yes.
Well, detect balance works a little different. Isn't that based off of their actions?
Detect balance is in this area.
It's where they fit. It can be on a person, too. Bad enough that you have it on, then we don't want to hear it.
But somehow we determined it would be evil. I think you.
Play it however you want.
So, regardless, he's dead and I ain't going under that bed. I say that as I take a couple more steps away from the bed.
Do we have downtime between
Jake says, I'll go get him.
You see this? Now what do you do?
Who said they'll get him?
Jake.
That would not be wise, Jake.
I definitely look like that right now. Wide-eyed.
I'll help you get him, Jake.
All right.
Do we have downtime between the time chalice and now at all?
Nope.
Then how long? Minutes?
Yep.
About 30 now, but that's because this whole conversation's been going on.
Okay.
But now you have 10 hours of rest coming, so people will be able to do things. All right. Well, 10 hours since you have to go through it. Yeah, for those who are going. All right, so anyway, so Jake... Jake gets down by the edge, and he, like, first he just tries to swing his sword in there and try to knock some of the bugs off or whatever.
I'll take my ring off, see if it scares him away.
What is that? What happens when you take the ring off?
The ring of the lion, it scares away. It forces enemies that are... I don't know exactly who it affects, but
okay.
I assume it's hostile creatures that are not facing me to make a morale check.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right. I remember it now.
It's like a lion's roll.
Yep. Okay.
Grim gets up out of his
bed. It's better.
So you're going to crawl under the bed to, like, focus that effect toward them, because from out here they probably won't even notice.
Yeah, I'll probably be dead.
Okay. All right. So roll a d20.
I got frost fingers.
I mean, you could frost finger the bugs now because 13. He's already dead, right? I mean, theoretically.
13.
It's not going to burn his bed down.
Okay.
Nice cooling.
All right. So you and indeed, it does appear to be having an effect on them.
I'm going to put on my...
Okay. And all of the bugs that are on him, like, scurry away, and some of them leap straight up and disappear into the under part of the bed and like that.
Serious problem here.
And
so it's
you have to crawl another several steps to be able to actually physically grab him and start dragging him out. Once you get under there and you're about where he's laying at dead, you look back and you see that there is a faint blue transparent shield that is dropping down from the edge of the bed to the floor. And Jake, where he's reaching through it with the sword, there he was not actually able to reach where FaZe was at. Like, he might have thought he was sweeping the bugs away, but the distance is much more extreme. Like, he was, his tip sword was stopping 4 or 5 feet from where the bugs were. And he must have thought he was hitting the bugs, but he's not actually hitting the bugs. Anyway, and then you can see where the blue field dissects his arm, like right here. There's like, it lights up a little bit around his armor, basically. And then beyond that, everything looks faded and shaded, like not in color, like black and white, grayscale, basically. And then he moves the sword. As he moves the sword, you can see that his arm at the light disconnects. So his sword is like 4 inches over here from his arm, which is over here, and then he moves it back, and so his arm is not staying with his sword, it's disconnecting.
And it looks like a log from
one piece. And then you, you're at the body. Okay. So he, as you're looking at him, he does look dead, but he does not look as dead as what you first saw. Like, his whole face hasn't been eaten off. I mean, he does have a lot of bites on his head and neck and arms. But his face has not been eaten off like you initially saw.
Okay. Drag him out.
All right. So you start to drag him out. Okay. Okay, as you are like moving him back toward the thing, two small, basically like dots of energy, maybe like 3/8 of an inch across, and glowing bright yellow, zip to be between you and the exit, basically, and they're in the way.
Interested in giving financially to Low Moon and support the campaign? Text LMGIVE, that's LM Give, to 419-419-0095.
Like anything I've seen before?
No, they're tiny. They don't look like they have any real means of stopping you, but they're definitely in front of you.
Okay, so I get the sense that they're going to stop me in some way.
Okay. So, as you're crawling out, roll a saving throw versus spell.
4.
Okay. So just as you're about to penetrate the blue wall, you feel a kind of like searing pain. It's not terrible, but it just feels like touching something hot, like when a wick goes out and touches like that, but it's on your forehead above your right eye. And then after that, you're pushed through the wall, and then Jake stops swinging his sword because, like, you're right there in his face. And then he grabs the body, and you pull him out. So everyone sees Azuri come back out of the out from underneath the bed. What hit points were you at when you went under the bed? Oh, actually, you don't even know because you didn't play the last session, did you? Okay, so you were at 14 hit points.
Okay. You got it. Disappeared pretty quickly.
It wasn't that quickly. It was like round 3.
Yeah, the second guy to go.
Okay. So what is Theon's normal max hit points? 24. Okay, so Theon is at 24.
26.
22.
Ow!
Yeah, that was a big fight. Okay. And Dearmood was at like 6 when he went into Time Chalice, wasn't he, or something? Wasn't he low on hit points?
No, I'm fine.
Oh, you were fine?
25.
Okay. So what is your normal max?
85.
Okay. So you're at 34.
I'm at 34 now.
Unless you got healing system. No, you wouldn't have gotten healing system. Yeah, you're at 34.
I was there for that session, but I'm down.
Right. But so hit points are bled off while you're in the Time Chalice?
Oh, okay.
Until you get to 0 when you cease to exist.
Okay, so I have 60 after the time chance.
So you're at 34 now. It's 26. Okay. Let me clarify that now. And no healing has been done. So healing is a possibility. Okay? Anyway, so you see he brings the body out. It doesn't look nearly as bad as what you saw when you looked in there. And as he pulls it up, Jan's still up on the bed. Dearmood, Xavier, and Brunson are all there to see him pull the body out. And you do see that he has two small, look like burns, like dots, on his forehead above his right eye.
I'm basically cradled in your arms.
Don't hit you in the face.
I'm not sure there are kind of lights, and I've got some burning, but something obvious.
We'll get
what happened?
Go ahead.
How'd you get his face put back on?
Under there, and the kind of illusion is over there. But he still looks dead.
I looked up at Xavier. You saw it too, right?
Ibamel says, the legends say never go under Ogrim's bed. I can tell you that.
Clearly.
I'm glad I didn't.
Apparently they have a problem with bed bugs.
So I think that's a good idea.
It is said to be dangerous. It's a caution. Okay, so we're going to. I'm going to pause this so we can pray and then everybody can get whatever pizza, whatever. Pausing.
That's the lesson of your job every day.
Maybe. All right, we're back. Okay, so at this point, this is where you left things. You have dead bays. You have 10 hours for those of you who are going to go with Struppal deep into Ogrim's Mountain. Stro offers you a place to stay, which of relative state safety.
Is it bug free?
Should be.
Okay. I prefer not to sleep on the floor.
I would suggest posting a guard.
Well, okay, I'm not sure.
Okay. Anything else you need to do in that room with Stro? Ogrim, the mourners, minus Noth and Stropal, who have already left. Okay.
I'd say we find somewhere to rest.
So Ibamel actually suggests that you rest in her private chambers. The only danger is that it's open to the outside. There is a balcony. But other than that, it should be safe.
Okay. That would give more time for memorization.
Is there any threat of dragons here?
Of course.
It's likely.
I would suggest I would avoid any major magical castings or spikes if possible. Because there are lots of beings that will want to come and check out what's going on. Okay.
I don't suppose that, you know, because it's your balcony, that's not a deterrent, right?
Oh, it is. But that, you, if you do powerful magics, you'll be tempting them to come and see what's going on.
I'm not planning on doing powerful magics.
Stay tuned for more Lomunian adventures.